Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, we have audio that is absolutely hilarious regarding Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick, and yes, Josh McDaniels, Kevin. Here's what I want to know. What do you think they're trying to hide? This audio comes from Barstool Sports, Kevin.
Something.
In just a minute, we're going to get into the best, worst, and most underrated moves of the 2019 NFL season. But this audio from Bill Belichick it's very interesting. They're on the field, and here's what it sounds like.
I'm Mike, so don't say anything. I just want to say hi. How you doing? Yeah. I mean, I couldn't miss those sunglasses, though. I mean, I saw those from like 5 miles away. Like, that's nice right there.
All right, play that one more time.
That's Matt Patricia talking about
it. Yeah, that's Matt Patricia talking.
But you can hear Bill Belichick say, I appreciate that. I don't think he means, I appreciate you coming by to say hi. I think he means, I appreciate you telling me that you were mic'd up because we're a bunch of cheating a-holes.
Jeez.
Wow.
Play it again.
I'm mic'd, so don't say anything. I just want to say hi. How you doing? Yeah. I mean, I couldn't miss those sunglasses, though. I mean, I saw those from like 5 miles away. Like, that's nice right there.
Thanks. That's
all right.
Great, guys.
877-881-1053. What do you think they were trying to hide? He's saying I'm mic'd. So don't say anything.
Maybe he said I'm Mike. I changed my name to Mike.
No, his name's Matt, though.
That's not what I heard.
Don't say Matt. Is that what he's trying to tell him? Yeah. I don't want you to hear you say it because I'm trying to leave. No, he said I'm mic'd up. And he even showed him with his jersey. So don't say anything. What do you think? 877-881-1053. What do you think they were trying to hide?
Can you believe these idiots let us get away with it again?
So that's what you think that they were going to say.
That is 100% what I think.
They were going to say that before.
Look, the Patriots are the biggest cheaters in the history of the NFL. I don't think anybody is going to dispute that. And so they've like rarely been punished at all, and they've never had a real punishment. And so I think they were just all going to high five.
And that is,
yes, they were.
That is at Senior Bowl practice, by the way. So Matt Patricia sees Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and he walks over there to say hi. Yeah.
He doesn't want him to give away who they're going to draft.
Okay. See, now that's more logical, Kevin. Than
they're like, hey, hold on. I don't want you to give away your plans if you were going to tell me.
Okay.
Hey, we like this guy.
That's
right
fine.
Here.
That's fine. All right, Shippy, walk up to me like you're just going to say hello. Just say hello.
Hey.
Hey, hello. Shippy, good to see you. I wanted to let you know that in the draft, we're going to take blah, blah, blah. Well, how would that happen?
They work together.
From the 940, they're hiding the fact that they're breaking labor laws because they never take a day off.
You can work yourself as much as you want. Well,
you know what? From the 917, maybe foul language, because that is live, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't the Senior Bowl practice live, so they didn't want any foul language?
Yes, because surely that would be the worst thing that the NFL has ever had to deal with.
You don't want to be Travis Kelce.
They were going to say, I told you that was the picture that was coming. From the 210, Matt Patricia sounded like a nervous snitch.
Maybe Bill Belichick has a rash he's been talking about behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He didn't want that to get out.
Possibly. I have one more suggestion. All right, come up and say hello to me.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
I told you, man. Tell them you're making a documentary. Those idiots will buy it every single time.
From the 858, that was an innocent Altuve holding his jersey so he doesn't get in trouble with his wife, eye roll.
Yeah. It's just
from the 469, the tape watch parties tonight at my place. Cheating is awesome when you know you can get away with it.
Yes! Thank you. I want to be best friends with that person. And like for Altuve and Arenado and all of that, just quit giving me the backstory to the excuse. You don't want to talk about something anymore, just say you're not going to talk about it. Don't tell me that Nolan Arenado's like, oh, I'm a private person. And I don't want to talk about this. The whole reason this became a bigger story is because you talked about it. No. And Altuve is like, well, you know, I was shirtless once before. My wife didn't like it. Well, I have terrible news for you. If you hit the walk-off home run to win you the pennant and you get your shirt ripped off by your teammates and your wife wants a divorce, your marriage is on tenuous footing at best. So I don't want to hear all this background for these people.
From the 469, they were going to say, have you seen the Kraft video yet? I was so sad for him.
Oh, man. Gross.
All right, so that's our thoughts on the Senior Bowl where Matt Patricia runs up to Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and says, hey, keep it down because I don't want y'all to get anybody in trouble here. All right, real quick, Kevin, here we go.
Better question. Why the hell would they mic Matt up? That's a fair point.
Because they were probably interviewing him.
Yeah. I bet he had some really exciting things to say.
Hey, he's Matt Patricia, and yeah. I got a beard.
Look, that would be my first question. What's it like having a boss beard? And if he didn't want to engage, I'm like, I'm done.
The five best moves of last offseason, Kevin, because as we all know, your offseason shapes your regular season. It builds what the beginning is going to be. For the Chiefs, they had a defensive makeover last offseason. The Tyrann Mathieu signing. They replaced Dee Ford with Frank Clark, which that kind of worked out, I guess, for both teams there. Chris Jones managed to continue to thrive as a pass rusher, and then they were able to hold off Derrick Henry. So their defense allowed them to get into the Super Bowl. The Ravens' offensive makeover, that was a huge move this offseason.
Because it felt like they finally, well, not finally, it only been year two, but it felt like they decided to design the offense around Lamar Jackson even further. You know, like I know, because when you went with Flacco, the Flacco offense and the Jackson offense aren't going to be carbon copies because of the immobility of Flacco. So it was good to see that while they tried to integrate some new stuff for him last year, they were able to just let Lamar Jackson be exactly who he is. And obviously in the regular season, that paid off pretty well.
Again, the five best offseason moves, the Titans trade for Ryan Tannehill. It was like a straight up dump for the Dolphins because they were like, hey, we'll even pick up a large part of his salary for it. Just get rid of him.
What did they give up for that?
I don't know exactly what it was, but the Titans went 7-3 to close out their regular season because they decided that at that point, Marcus Mariota was no more for this team.
They traded him for a, oh my gosh, okay. So the Dolphins traded Tannehill and a 6th-round pick to the Titans for a 4th and a 7th. So essentially they traded like more or less a late 4th or 5th-round pick for him. So that worked out.
All right, fine. Yeah, I think that worked out very well for them to get, that's essentially Dak right there for your season and you got to the championship game.
Yeah.
The Niners draft Nick Bosa with the number 2 pick. What a move that was, man. Like, it seems like a no-brainer, right? Like, take the really solid defensive end that's probably going to be a star.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I did think it was a no-brainer because I...
You hated him.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he quit on his team.
He did quit on his team, and so I was really concerned about that, but... Yeah,
I thought it was a smart business decision because he was never playing for college. He was playing for the NFL.
Yeah, I look, you know how I feel about this. I think when you give your word, you live up to your word, and he did not live up to his word, and so
it's a bad way to approach things, Kevin. Always go for the next contract. The Buccaneers signing Shaq Barrett. How strong of a move was that, man?
Now the worst move next year is going to be them getting rid of Jameis Winston.
Well, but they had a 1-year, $4 million contract that culminated in 19.5 sacks.
So they paid 1 year, $4 million for Shaq Barrett. We're paying, and think about that. We're not that far up from these numbers matching. They paid $4 million for 19.5 sacks. We're paying DeMarcus Ware close enough to DeMarcus Lawrence $19.5 million for about 4 sacks.
Yeah.
Didn't he have like 5.5 sacks and we're paying him $20 million? So, yeah, good job, Tampa Bay. You're much smarter than we are.
And so on the regular season, for every sack that Shaq Barrett got, Jameis Winston threw 1.2 interceptions, something along those lines. Oh. 1.1 interceptions.
Okay.
Because he threw 30 interceptions.
Wow. Yikes.
So every time I get to the quarterback, you screw it up. That's what I'd tell him. I'd go to the sideline and tell him, dude, come on.
Maybe you need to get to the quarterback more. And he'd be like, why? So you can throw more interceptions?
The five worst moves of the offseason, Kevin. The Browns.
Signing DeMarcus Lawrence to an extension.
Hold on. Whoa. We'll get there. The Browns hired Freddie Kitchens.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they should have just stuck with Greg Williams.
If you're gonna if you're going to have that much unproven talent, but it's that talented, you have to have somebody with skins on the wall to command the room, and Freddie Kitchens couldn't.
Disagree. I think at this point, whoever you bring in there is going to fail.
Because it's
Cleveland? I don't think.
You are bought in on Cleveland than a Cleveland.
Hey, that's what Colby said. I believe it. I don't blame that on him.
Number two, everything involving Antonio Brown. Oh, worst offseason moves. There you go.
Remember the gummies?
Yeah, I mean.
It's gotten beyond that now. Yeah. Now he's throwing rocks at people.
Pebbles.
And nobody knows exactly the size of the rock. But that's everything that he did during this offseason was bad. The even the move to the Patriots, they spent too much money for one game of him. Just even the money that they paid him for one game was too much money for him that season.
Yeah, and then multiple other teams wanted him, and I do believe he'll get at least one more shot somehow, some way in the NFL. Whether he actually plays in the NFL, I don't know, but I think somebody else will give him a shot.
The Jaguars signing Nick Foles. Oh. They just didn't know what they had in Gardner Minshew, second.
Then Foles got hurt like straight away. So.
He is a 4-year, $88 million contract with $42 million guaranteed in the first 2 years, Kevin.
Yikes.
And he got injured so early in the season, it just kind of like, ugh. And then he never really got back to being what he should be.
Yikes.
Another bad offseason move, the Giants signing Golden Tate.
Oh, I didn't even know he did anything this year.
4 years, $37.5 million contract is what they signed him for. And he's a very similar receiver to Sterling Shepard, who they have 4 years and $41 million. And then they find rookie Darius Slayton, who looks like the real deal. And they're
He was good for them.
Here we are with Golden Tate now. And then lastly, Kevin, the Washington alienating Trent Williams. What a terrible move by them, and what a terrible organization they are.
Oh, so no Le'Veon Bell, eh?
No Le'Veon Bell. The five most underrated moves of last offseason.
Hiring Brian Flores.
That is not on my list, Kevin.
Bull crap.
That is not on my list at all. The Titans promoting Arthur Smith to offensive coordinator. That worked out because he was like, run the damn ball.
And we should trade
and
for
throw it to AJ Brown, the Bills offensive makeover, because they did do a little bit different this
year. Yeah, the Bills might be right at the top of my list of most surprising team. I mean, outside of the Dolphins.
Yeah, you didn't believe what I believed in that team. They have a solid defense. Their offense still has to grow, though. The trade for Carlos Hyde really helped out the Houston because they could combo it with Duke Johnson. The Vikings hiring Gary Kubiak. The Dolphins signing Ryan Fitzpatrick was a very underrated move. What about the five moves on which the jury is still out, Kevin? The number one overall.
Are you going to say Le'Veon Bell?
Ezekiel Elliott's contract.
I mean, right now, I don't think that. It was a bad move.
But the whole contract.
I disagree.
Hold on, next year he can't do anything to make you say, well, the contract was worth it?
No, absolutely not.
He runs for 2,900 yards and 35 touchdowns, and they go win a Super Bowl.
Wow.
Okay.
You just said absolutely not, cool. Kevin. Don't backtrack now.
Then I will backtrack. Under those circumstances, then yes.
What you think outside the box?
Yeah, man.
But if you think about it, Ezekiel Elliott's probably only going to be particularly viable around here for two more years. And you had him under contract for one of those years, and you would have had him under contract for this year. So I think essentially you gave him a 5-year extension for 1 year. And it was a bad move.
Another one the jury is still out on, the Jets free agent moves during the offseason, adding Le'Veon Bell
there
and CJ Mosley.
You go.
And
I
guess
CJ Mosley was hurt, but Le'Veon Bell, what's he gonna do now?
Run for 30 touchdowns.
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, he will win the Super Bowl, but that's because he has the greatest quarterback who's
ever
lived.
Oh, my gosh. Washington signing Landon Collins. Evidently, that didn't turn out the way they wanted. 6 years, $84 million right there.
All right.
Who I would have been.
You looking to unload that contract? We could cut a deal.
And then the Browns trade for Odell Beckham Jr.
How is that to be determined?
Hey,
he does not want to be there. I know there's time, but he does not want to be there at all. The second any team is like, I mean, we could... done. So they're looking to get out of that. No. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, are mascots the worst? A special KNC report. Plus, maybe your first look at a 2020 NFL mock draft. Who the Cowboys getting? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Our mascot's the worst. We'll get into that in just a moment. And Kevin's smiling because he loves that story. That's all he wanted to do today. He couldn't wait to get to this segment.
Yeah.
Because this was the only thing he wanted to discuss all day long.
That and the size of the Antonio Brown rock that he threw.
But I forced it on him that we had to wait until later. What?
I don't think you should say
it
like
I forced
that.
It to wait late till later on in the day. Is that better?
That's better.
To make sure we got to this. He's been waiting all day, though. And, Kevin, before we get to it, though, there are other things that I want to dive
all
in
right.
on.
All right.
And that is the mock draft world is out there, okay? And I know you're a big fan of the mock drafts. Actually,
no.
you hate mock drafts more than anything else.
I do hate mock drafts.
877-881-1053. Text in and tell us if you love or hate mock drafts. And who are the people that you trust when it comes to mock drafts? Because I know locally, everybody trusts Jeff and Broadus. Like they made a Dane Brugler. They made names for themselves. So everybody trusts those people because of that. But who are the names you trust whenever it comes to mock draft postings? And Kevin, do you even have any? Is it Walter Football for you?
Yeah, man, Walter Football is kind of scaled back. That's disappointing. I know some people who
they used to have strong content.
I know,
man.
And people who weren't informed didn't even know who they were, and they probably should have done some more research.
Tread lightly.
But no, I mean, I trust Dane and stuff. I just sometimes they come out so early that you're like, okay, cool, but like none of that's gonna happen.
It's a way. Here's what it is.
Except for Burrow.
It's a way to get the idea of the talent. Like where they kind of rank the talent, what they're doing there, and then start that discussion of who these guys are. I think a lot of people do try and get there first. You know, they try and be, I want to be the first one to get my mock draft up. So everybody's kind of referring to my stuff. And so that, but Kevin, I'm on NFLmockdraftdatabase.com right now.
Oh, that's a lengthy title.
I am 5 pages in. And there are at least 25 mock drafts on each page.
Oh my God.
And so and there are 20 pages. So everybody does mock drafts nowadays. So it's just a bunch of people that are trying to figure out what's going on. I will say this. Daniel Jeremiah is one that I trust.
The
right?
Bullfrog?
NFL.com. Not Jeremiah was a bullfrog. But NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah does really good work.
Okay.
At Move the Sticks. And right now, I know what's the position of want and need for you?
Defensive tackle or safety?
All right. He's got Xavier McKinney. And a little lower down at 23, going to the Patriots, he's got Grant Delpit.
And then obviously Grant Delpit out of LSU is somebody that, I mean, a lot of discussion has already taken place at this station about him.
All right. So, and that's something that, Kevin, I think that at some point we're going to have a very strong, difficult discussion when it comes to Xavier McKinney and Grant Delpit. Because if that's the position you want to, and that's only if that's the position you want to go for. Because if you want to go for a different position, then you kind of just move on from those guys. But here's another name that came up. Defensive tackle, you said. He's got Javon Kinlaw at defensive tackle at 25 out of South Carolina. Now, Javon Kinlaw has dominated during the Senior Bowl practices so far.
But he's
Matt Patricia
hurt.
Is saying he's mic'd up to Bill Belichick and telling him not to say anything.
Super weird.
So he has been awesome, but he left with a knee injury.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Now, I wonder how many people are going to lose their minds about the knee injury and freak out about it, and how many people are going to be like, oh, whatever, we'll just see what happens at the combine.
I mean,
but
that's
been awesome.
That's fine, but you can't even make it through a couple of days of practice football. How are you going to make it through the real thing? Like, I'm always concerned about that. And that's why I'm concerned when we have conversations about, like, Connor McGovern. You know, you can say it's unfair or whatever, but I'm like, if you can't even get on the field to begin with, how are you going to make it through once you actually have to be going through real football.
Or maybe I showed everything I need to, and I'm just going to CC y'all later.
I mean, and that's kind of what I wonder, but also that's not the person I want on
So hold on,
my
but
team.
That was the Jadeveon Clowney thing for me.
Yeah, that's not the person I want on my team.
Okay, all right. The other defensive tackle on there is TCU's Rock Blacklock. Ross Blacklock.
I was going to say, that's an amazing name.
Ross Blacklock from TCU is number 27 for Daniel Jeremiah's current mock draft. So there you go. Those are some guys, but it's they got the safeties in that world right there. And man, if you want to move up, which we could.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really have the capital to do it, but I from the 817, I hate how we never pick the guys that Jeff mocks and then those guys go on to be awesome. Well, Jeff will tell you all the guys that he picked that went on to be awesome, right? Is he ever going to tell you about the guys he misses on, though?
I mean, no.
Because he never misses, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Jeff doesn't miss, all right? Neither does Broadus. So just don't forget that. I just wanted you to remember that part of things. Who do you got going number one overall?
I mean, Joe Burrow.
Number two?
Chase Young.
Three?
Tua.
All right.
That's right. I'm going
to the Lions
with this thing. Maybe.
He's got Okuda, the cornerback from Ohio State, and then Mekhi Becton, the offensive tackle from Louisville.
People freak out about quarterbacks.
And offensive tackles, dude. Like, offensive tackles are always at the top of the list, man. Just remember, Laremy Tunsil dropped just a little bit from what happened. So, anyway, that's a lot of mock draft stuff that's going on. But, Kevin, there's more important stuff.
Yeah.
Our mascot's the worst. And
yes,
somebody said the Philly mascot was banging a drum.
Gritty.
Or trash can. Was he banging the trash can with the Astros
the
stuff
Astros,
on it?
Astros trash can.
Well, guess what, Shippy? I also saw this on 105.3thefan.com. A father took his son to meet and greet in November, where he claims that Gritty punched his son in the back.
I used to use his energy company.
No, it's different. He's a 13-year-old boy. He punched him in the back, and Philly detectives are currently investigating. Hmm. In Greenwell's telling, who's Chris Greenwell, said he brought his son, Brandon, to a meet and greet with the Flyers mascot. In Greenwell's telling, Brandon playfully patted the mascot on the head after the photo was taken.
Oh, he's a Beltray type.
As Brandon walked away, Gritty got out of his chair, took a running start, and punched my son as hard as he could.
Okay.
Comcast Spectator officials said there was no proof that Gritty hit the boy, but offered special perks to make up for the bad experience. Greenwell suggested the Flyers show his son on the Giants scoreboard or let him into the locker room to meet players and get autographs.
Gosh.
The company offered to sit Brandon on the players' bench during warm-ups before the future game.
This has got a real Zeke at EDC vibe where it's like maybe it was a slight, you know, punch, and then it's like...
He said he ran as hard as he could, as fast as he could, and punched him.
By the way, but he'd also like to hang out with Voracek and the rest of the Flyers on, you know, one of their days off, and maybe go on a road trip, and I don't know, maybe the team can write a letter saying we're sorry.
I get all that, Shippy, but if you put me on the jury for this, I'm going in thinking he's guilty.
What?
Because of who the mascot
he's
is.
He's creepy. I will say that.
Gritty, I think we've all been waiting. I have a theory that whoever goes in the Gritty mascot takes over the personalities of that nightmare that they drew up. And like, they're perfectly fine people, but then they start to become mentally imbalanced when they step into that suit.
I can see
and
that.
That's what's leading to this. I have watched many horror movies that have some sort of tenet of that as their plot.
Is this you guys are thinking this is that he actually is, he's bad?
Oh yeah.
But hold on. In 877-881-1053, are y'all afraid of mascots? Do you like mascots?
I've always wanted to be a mascot.
Because every year, Kevin, you've always wanted to be a mascot. Our friend Derek Holland got the opportunity to be the Shipley's Donuts mascot recently.
Yeah.
I wish I had a donut
like
place.
That didn't help my, I'm not afraid of mascots, but sometimes they kind of freak me out. I will say this for the record. Muppets freak me out. And these are like giant Muppets. And it didn't help that when we were doing the event at My Possibilities, I'm walking around briskly and all of a sudden a human being in a donut costume goes, "Hey, come here." Like, that's a weird thing. If you ever encounter it in your life, I guarantee you, you will also think it's strange. And then they pulled me close and said, "You know who's in here, right?" Like, that's a creepy thing to hear. It was Derek Holland, which made me feel better, but it was still creepy. However, this all goes back to Chuck E. Cheese. Okay?
What?
Years and years ago, I was at Chuck E. Cheese and I got a call on my phone. And so I took the call, walked back and around the corner where I thought nobody was. I turn around and Chuck E. Cheese is pantomiming me on the phone. Like, he's got his fingers up to his mouth and his ear and going. And so he's making fun of me. And at which point, my friend probably freaked out. I go, yeah, I got to go. Chuck E. Cheese is making fun of me being on the phone. He goes, wait, what? And then I just hung up the phone. So, like, that was just a really weird interaction that I had with the mascot. So I'm inclined to not be on the side of mascots. They freak me out.
From the 817, don't hate mascots, but if you're from Philly, you can go. Okay, I can't say that on air. Dallas needs to go get Motley from the Clippers. Is Motley a cool mascot?
Is that the mouse?
Motley the mouse.
Okay.
But how would mice and Mavericks be the same thing? Here's my problem.
Of mice and Mavericks.
I may have
I read that book.
I'm not a furry.
Oh my gosh, this guy's not a mouse.
But I will say this. When I was a freshman in high school, a girl that I may have had a crush on, I didn't realize she was the mascot for our school. And so one day I was at, we were in band. And so at halftime, I walked down around the corner and I saw her taking off the mascot outfit. And she only had like shorts and a tank top on. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's the mascot. And I didn't realize it. So I kind of always had this affinity for our mascot because she was in it.
Okay, maybe. Whoa. Look, I mean, maybe I should back off.
But I don't like. I don't like dress-up costumes like that. Mm-hmm. That being said, in my mind, there's this, is it nobody else's like that where they bumped into somebody they liked and...
And they were in a mascot?
They were in a mascot outfit.
Yeah. No, that's oddly specific.
Like, I don't roll up to the AAC and see Victory Green and go, God, I wonder if there's somebody hot in there. Like, that is not something that crosses my mind. Although, to be fair, I might need to back off my stance. From the 214, Chuck E. Cheese is not a mascot. He is the proprietor of that establishment. Fair enough. He's the owner, so he can mock whoever. But look. When are you going to find a situation where putting someone in a 6-foot-tall furry costume is not going to be weird? I think it's weird that we put adults or teenagers in these giant furry costumes and have them pose with kids. Like, who signed off on this and thought, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get somebody who refuses to talk and you can't see their face, put them in a giant animal costume that's really creepy, and pair them with children.
Did you ever send Brandon up to get, like, to the mascots?
Yeah, he didn't want to go.
He didn't want to go?
And I was kids, I respect that.
My kids love mascots, man. They're always like,
does that concern you? No. How much have we vetted the people in these outfits?
I was accidentally a mascot one time, now that I think about it, actually.
What?
Really?
Yeah, Missouri. My buddies wanted to go to the Royals game. I walked downstairs in my living room, and there was a hot dog costume. I said, I'm only going if I can wear that. And they said yes, and they gave me a Royals hat. I ended up following the hot dog vendor around the stadium for a little bit and taking a bunch of pictures with kids.
Yeah.
See? Pretty good bit, right?
You know about Shippy's life. Do you want him hanging around your kids? No.
By the way, fans can get a glimpse Saturday of Globe Life Field. 91%. 91% complete.
Stop with these updates because the last one was 90.
It says 91%.
If I have to hear 9 more updates, I will listen when it's 100% done now. Otherwise, I don't want to hear the updates.
There's only 9% left.
Oh, my God. And somebody said... That from the 817, it also smells horrible inside because it's so expensive to wash, and that's why they don't wash it more often.
Ugh.
This is a really bizarre conversation, but,
part of sports, man.
They are.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Also part of sports, at least with our station, your opportunity to win $1,000.
Yes!
This flies in the face of everything we just talked about, but your word this hour is healthy. Text healthy to 72881.
Like psychological health?
Yes. That's healthy to 72881 for your opportunity to win $1,000. And then coming up next, we'll crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.